And welcome into in-game chat for Saturday, the 30th of May, 2026, season 20, episode 16. And I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
And welcome into the show, everybody. Going to do the clapboard real quick. We got a lot to get to today, so I'm going to get things done with as soon as I can. We got a lot to talk about, a lot of things to, I mean, I say a lot of things to talk about. We got some big things that'll take some discussion, I believe. Maybe not a lot of big things, but big things nonetheless. If you want to throw your hat into the ring of conversation, then, you know, our Discord's open there. You can jump in on that. I've invited some friends to join us, but I don't necessarily know. Nobody responded to it, which is absolutely fine. But they may show back up anyway. I don't know. I'll tell you in a minute. Anyway, but yeah, Discord's the way to do that if you want to. You can also hit us up on Twitter and Blue Sky. Also Facebook, we're over there. You know, you can email us, everyone at ingamechat.net. We are streaming right now on Twitch. You can go to Twitch, twitch.tv, and you can search for In-Game Chat. You'll be able to join the chat room live while we broadcast. And if you want to throw in some commentary there, you are more than welcome to do that also. Because like I said, plenty to get to today. Having said that, now that we're in the thing, let's go ahead and find out what we've been playing. RJ, I throw it to you, sir.
Well, for the most part, I've been playing a lot of Grand Theft Auto Online because there's a big bonus this week in terms of contact missions and the money fronts missions to do. I guess not enough people were doing anything in those things, so they decided to give Rockstar decided to give it a perk or a pickup. Right now, you have four times the rewards in the money laundering portion of the money fronts opportunity. That's across all three locations that you can purchase in game. It took me about maybe a little over an hour to earn about 1.5 million in-game currency. So at that rate, you can really pick up your cash reserves to get anything you want in there. Also, other than that, contact missions with the character Lamar is five times the money and experience points. So you can literally do one mission, take your sweet time with it, because it seems to be the longer you take to do the mission, the more money it pays out.
Mm-hmm.
So one particular mission, I was able to get to the end of it, but I waited about 5-10 minutes before finishing the mission off, and it got me about 100,000 in-game currency. So, you know, doesn't take long to get, it won't take long this week to get millions of dollars of in-game currency if you play your cards right. Other than that, a little bit of a First Ascendant. Mostly I've just been logging in to get the daily rewards, doing little tasks here and there.
Yeah.
Not much different, except for,
that's what I do with Snap.
Yeah. Ultimate, Isaimo. Character in the game.
Oh, okay.
He's got an ultimate version now, so he's available if you want that. But he's not a character I'm familiar with, but maybe just to pick him up to get more mastery level.
Yeah.
To do maybe something to get later on, but not really inspired to do it right now. A little bit of MLB The Show, 25. Haven't been playing too much often because, like I said, I've been working on Grand Theft Auto Online for the most part. And, of course, a little bit of Virtua Fighter because I was watching the Combo Breaker finals for the top eight finals in for Virtua Fighter Revo. And it was a pretty good watch. I learned some things from there, and I'm probably going to try to implement it later on when I start playing again, probably for leagues tomorrow or later on in the week.
All right. Mm-hmm. Good. Well, as for me, oh gosh, plenty to say, plenty to talk about. Mm-hmm. So last week, well, was it last weekend? Maybe it was the weekend we did the show last, because we had a week off here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think the last time I was doing the show, I was talking to you about my Marvel Snap playing, you know, the card game on my phone, and then there's a Steam thing on there. I can play it on mm-hmm. Steam too.
Yeah.
But I was talking about possibly going through and becoming collection complete. In other words, I don't have to fight for cards anymore. I can now, you know, I'm not behind. I can't look. People can throw decks online and say, hey, this is a deck that got me this far in this game mode or whatever. And I can look at it and say, you know, I don't have that card yet, or I don't have that. And the cards are available, but it wasn't last weekend, but it was the weekend before last, I think, that I was able to become collection complete all the way through without spending any money. Mm-hmm. And was able to grab 12. Let's see, I remember there being 12 because I had to count, like, what is 4,000 times 12? Because that's mm-hmm. how much I need in order to get everything. There were 12 of those, and there were 1, 2, 3, there was like 5 of a different tier. So, you know, 17 cards in total that I needed.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to go through a bunch of stuff that I say I'd been hoarding it, but I just hadn't really done anything with it and sort of just kind of left it there.
Yeah.
And I was able to rack up enough to get me everything I needed and have some left over for the next week, because they release one card a week on average.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning of a season, they release 2 cards a week. One of those comes with the season pass, which is like $10, you know, a month that you can pay and get that card. Or you can just use your in-game currency to buy the card if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
But I had enough left over to get the next card that was coming out that week, and then get the next card that was coming out the week before. And I'm in a rhythm now, so long as they don't do something stupid and release, like, here's 5 new cards, you know?
Mm-hmm.
As long as that doesn't happen, it's amazing how much easier it is to stay kept up, I guess, whatever the word mm-hmm. is, to stay on top of things rather than just to try and, like, crawl back through it
mm-hmm.
and get these cards. It's so much easier when you've got all the cards and you can just, you know, the next one releases, you're like, yep, boom, done, you know, mm-hmm. got the card, I'm good. So that's really, really nice. Now, also, I look online and I see decks. And I'm just like, okay, I don't have to look over the deck being, do I have that card? No, I do. I mm-hmm. have the card.
Yeah.
So I can go through and just make decks and play and whatever else. It's interesting.
Yeah.
So that's a goal of that game that I've always had, is to be collection complete and to continue on doing that. Another goal is to reach what is essentially not necessarily the end of the game, but I mean, there is a ladder system. And that ladder system ends at 99. I've never gotten above 90 before,
mm-hmm.
I don't think. I've gotten into the 80s before, but I've never gotten above 90. I've never made it to infinite, which is what you get once you pass 99.
Yeah, I think if you hit 99, you'd remember something like that.
Oh, yeah, no, totally. I know I've never, no, I'm saying, have I ever been in the 90s?
Mm-hmm.
I may have gotten into the 90s, I don't remember. Okay.
Is it a system that resets or something? Or
every month it resets.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
So whenever a new month comes around, that's what's called a new season.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll theme their card releases on something like this past month, May, was themed around Daredevil, but they already had Daredevil in the game.
Mm-hmm.
They already had Kingpin in the game. So they had to rework those cards, just like they had the entire Fantastic Four in the game. But when the Fantastic Four movie came out last year,
mm-hmm.
they had to kind of come up with a new type of those characters.
A variant, okay.
To Well, not even variants. I mean, variants in the look of the car. They've got variants as far as card looks all mm-hmm. over the place, which is actually very, very fun to kind of collect. Because the ones that I chase are something they did with Silver Age comic covers, mm-hmm. Bronze Age comic covers, and those I actively chase. Whenever those are around, I will grab those. Just because I'm trying to, those are absolute enjoyment for me. I know it's a cosmetic thing. Mm. It absolutely does not change how I play the game, or what I use or anything like that. It is just as a collector. You know, there's a comic book cover that I recognize for a character that I recognize, and I'm going to pick it up, even if I don't, and it's still got that comic book cover aspect to it. I absolutely will pick it up, but not my point. My point being was that every month they theme it around, and I'm not sure what next month is. I think next month being Tuesday when the reset happens, mm-hmm. I believe is Spider-Man.
I was about to ask if anything special is going on with Marvel, any film projects, movies, anything.
Well,
like that?
Spider-Man, I think, is the summer, okay. Right?
Wait, isn't Spider-Man War playing on Prime right now?
It is, yes.
Okay, is that new? That was like last week?
It was actually this week it came out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Spider-Noir came out this week. They have a card for Spider-Noir, but they don't have any that are related to that show.
Okay.
Also, that's not it's a Marvel property, mm-hmm. but it is also a Sony property.
Okay.
In other words, this version of Spider-Man is still Sony-owned.
Mm-hmm.
When you watch that Spider-Noir, you do not get the Marvel intro thing that comes, you know, on, mm-hmm. that's branded on all of their Marvel movie stuff, Rockers, TV
yeah.
stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't get that popping up there.
Okay.
So it's not necessarily their thing. I mean, it is, because it is Marvel-owned property, but it's Sony-owned.
Look, no matter who owns what, whenever I see Spider-Man, I'm thinking Marvel. I'm not thinking Sony.
I understand.
So,
I get you. But it might be why they're theming it towards Spider-Man, the film that's coming out this summer. I think it's this summer. And I think it's Spider-Man. It may not be Spider-Man. It may be something completely different that I've forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
They do have a theme in the works that's related to that. But anyway, point being is every new season resets you. So if you are anywhere between 1 and level 1 and 85, I think, something like that, you after the season ends, you get knocked down just 10 points mm. or 10 levels, which is better than what it used to be when I started playing.
Mm.
When I started playing, it was 30.
Jeez.
It was ridiculous.
Mm.
However, if you do make Infinite, which is over that, you get knocked down to 75 or 73.
Mm.
So it's about 20 points they knock you back down on, and you go through the grind to climb. So anyway, so that's my next goal for the game, is to get to Infinite at some point. I'm not too worried about it, but that's my next goal. I have a lot more confidence in trying to do it now that I have cards, but that's fine. Well, and that's something I always do. So collect Cleon Snap. Memorial Day weekend, I decided on Friday, I think, or Thursday. I can't remember what it was. I bought Lego Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And I finished it today.
Mm-hmm.
Started it this morning. I finished it this afternoon. So just because it's fresh on my mind, I hated the last level. There's a point of no return. There's a point in the mission where they're like, hey, you're going to have to play this thing all the way through from here on out.
It gives you a warning?
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and I mean, when you finish, you still got the entire city of Gotham to go around and just like all the other games.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the story's concerned, they're like, look, if you're ready, go ahead. But you got to, you know, this is it. You can't come back out of this. You know, if you fail this or you have to quit in between of it, in the middle of it, you're going to be reset back to the beginning of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which, honestly, I probably should have done instead of trying to speed run.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't think I would have to speed run is my point. I played these missions all the way through. You know, there's been plenty of missions. I don't know how many missions there are. There's plenty of missions. And at most, when I'm trying, because there are things to collect and things like that, at most, it's maybe taken me an hour and a half to go through certain missions, just because of how thorough I am with trying to find everything and, you know, nooks and crannies and everything else. Well, I started the ferocity on this mission, but it kept going. It is. When they tell you that is the point of no return, I need you to understand that if you are time constrained whatsoever, don't do it. Wait until you have a nice chunk of time. Depending, I guess, upon how you play. Because it got to the point that I was so pressed. Honestly, I really should have just stopped. But I really wanted to be done so that I could talk about the game on the show. And so I skipped a bunch of cutscenes. Like every time cutscenes would play, I was waiting for that skip button so I could get on with this mission. I hated that because there's some fantastic little homages and little dialogues and visual gags and all kinds of stuff that LEGO's really good at. That whole, I don't know if you remember the, what was it? Dark Knight Rises, the third Nolan Batman film. The one that had Bane in it.
Yeah.
So like he does the line and plus the voice of Bane is Matt Berry, which is fantastic. From the What We Do in the Shadows. Anyway, he's the voice of Bane. He does that whole line delivery of, you know, born in the dark. I was raised in the dark, you know. And as he's delivering that line, he steps on a Lego and says, you know, who put that? Blah, blah, blah. You know, one of those things. Has fun with it. So there's little things like that that I really hated to skip through, but I thought I'll find a YouTube video and I'll watch it, you know, no big deal. So the mission is long itself, but then there are two boss fights, one of which has two phases. So you kill them once and then they come back again and you got to kill them again in a different phase with different, you know, attacks and all this other stuff. Then you move on to your second boss fight that once you're done with that, you get thrown into a sort of puzzle type ending type of thing. Oh, wait a second. No. Let me back up a second. So it's chapter five is the mission you're on. Chapter five ends and you get an achievement saying you finished chapter five. Congratulations. Then chapter six starts, which there is no achievement for finishing chapter six. I didn't even know there was a chapter six. I had seen other people's achievement list and I was like, oh, five chapters. Okay. When I'm done with that, I'll be good. And when it was wrapping up, when it gave me the achievement for finishing chapter five, I was like, this is not the end of the game. There's still story here. What's going on? So when that was done, there's this whole segment. Chapter six starts out with you in the streets of Gotham and you're going through, and it just, I was like, oh God, this is taking forever. I didn't mind that part because, I mean, obviously it wasn't my boss fights. It wasn't at the end, but I was just like, but you still can't quit. You're not going to get started back, I don't think, at chapter six. So you'll be started back at the beginning of the mission. Anyway, you go through the boss fights. Then there's a puzzle thing. Then you go back. Now, both boss fights have like two phases.
Yeah.
Both boss fights have two phases of the enemy. You kill them once, then they revitalize and do something else. Then you go through this puzzle thing with two other characters. It's actually very, very good. I'm not saying that it's that this is bad in any way. It was just frustrating to me because I was time crunched and I really shouldn't have tried to rush through it. But then you go through what they basically do, because there's so many different characters in this. I don't even mean the villains. There's plenty of those too. But as far as like the Bat family is concerned, you know, you got Barbara and Batgirl and Robin and Batman and Talia and Nightwing, Catwoman, just an entire just group of people. And this final mission kind of showcases every single one of those. So there's a mission where you and everybody else are together doing your thing, which I guess is why it's so long. It's like, let's just throw all the characters in there, which is really fantastic to kind of highlight the whole synergy of not only the characters they've created, but if you look at the whole lore side of things, just they're all, you know, coming together to do their part. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, once you do the puzzle part, you get another boss fight from one of the earlier bosses who now has two phases. And I just thought, please, please let this be over with. Please stop. Please find an ending. I really, and I also understand from reading Reddit that if you go back and play these missions, the cutscenes don't play out for you. I mean, they will in the meantime, but like, however you finish the game, it's just over with. You get taken back to, I guess, the back computer in the back cave is how you replay old missions. Mm-hmm. And so as soon as you're done, you don't get all the nice in-between stuff or ending stuff. You get shoved back into the back cave and everything. Yeah. So probably something I'll just watch or start a new game and play on easy mode or something like that. I don't know. But yeah, I finished it up. I have a few complaints, not many. My one complaint is that last part felt like it went on forever. Not just because it did, mm-hmm. but because the boss fights were just so many and so many phases. Yeah. I was also playing on the most difficult setting because it's Lego. Mm-hmm.
Well, the Lego genre in general, is it a easy type run?
It's
not built to be multi-phase difficult setting. It's not supposed to be a dark souls type.
No.
When you say multiple phases of boss fights, I'm thinking Dark Souls things like that, lather, rinse, repeat to do it till you get it right.
Mm-hmm.
So is that something that's been in the Lego series?
You know, I haven't played a lot of the Lego series. What I have played that I can remember, it was not like that.
Okay.
This is from what everybody says, what everybody I have read, that this is one of the standouts of the Lego series of games, but also one of the most different than anything they've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
To have a massive, wide open world map where you can go all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's absolutely reminiscent to the point of copying the Arkham series games. I mean, the combat is right there with it. But the whole architecture of Gotham and everything else, it's very much I don't want to say a replica of the Arkham series, but I mean, that's all I've got to compare with. And that's really what it feels like. There are places there, you know, that I can remember from the Arkham series. But just because they're all parts of Gotham itself, which if you were to make a game about Batman that included Gotham, you would have these landmark places. You're always going to have those.
Mm-hmm.
No real complaints other than that last little boss fight section. I thought was like, give me a point of no return somewhere else, or don't make that a point of no return. You know, give me a moment where I can break, instead of just pressing pause, where I can break and do this and come back to it later or something. The only other complaint that I think I have are just some quality of life things that would be nice. Like in every mission, there are things to break and collect and things like that. They have at least three different things.
Mm-hmm.
One, you know, and they're all in five pieces, basically. There is some item of representation of each mission. Mm-hmm. That if you find that item in there and you break it and you see five of them, you come across five of them, I think, you get a replica of that to put into the Batcave.
Mm-hmm.
The giant penny being one of those from, you know, the Joker Two-fair. Stuff and that sort of thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Was I given spoilers? I can't read things anymore about these things. No. It's about Super Game Sniper. It's about Lego. it's about Lego right now. It's coming up about Destiny, though. Anyway, Yeah, I'm sorry, Thar. I didn't mean. He muted it for now because we're talking Lego. Mm-hmm. So, each mission has these little items that you can collect, and you get a summary of it after every mission, and it tells you like, hey, you got 3 of the 5, or you got 4 of them, or all of them, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I wish that there was some way in the mission to be able to bring up a menu to see like how many have I collected so far. You don't get any of that. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't know what it was until I broke one of the things, and it's like, hey, you've collected, this is your 2nd one of 5 in the mission. And I'm like, well, where's the first one? Where did I miss the first? Mm-hmm. You know, because I didn't know I was looking for that. You just have to smash stuff and hope it's the one you're looking for, because it doesn't tell you that.
Yeah.
And there's nothing in the menu that I think that I can think of that tells you what you're looking for. I kind of wish that that was there. Mm-hmm. I have gone back now to the thing where you can replay your missions, mm-hmm. and they're broken down into different segments of that mission. And each of those segments tells you if you were 100% in that section, and tells you what you're missing from that section. So you can replay not entire levels. You don't have to go back and replay entire levels. You can play sections of those levels to get what you missed, which is nice as well. So now my praise is just how much of a love letter to Batman this game is. It is absolutely wonderful with the amount of costumes and the different vehicles, the different sort of characters that they put in it, all these different, just like I said, just a love letter to the whole thing. I was playing the 89 Batman film, which carried out a whole lot like the film itself with the whole, and you've probably seen it in the trailer with Joker destroying the art museum. And then he does the parade with the balloons, and you have to do that. And it's all tied into one single linear story that covers, like, the opening of the game is Batman Begins, that film, when he is getting his training done. Mm-hmm. The midsection is like the 89 films. There is a section for the 89 films, the 2 Burton films, and then the Schumacher films, you know, the two really dark and broody ones, and then the 2 really bright and shiny ones. Mm-hmm. Then they get into the Nolan trilogy as well. Then they jump into the Arkham stuff. It's just wonderful, absolutely wonderful of a game. I think it's a game that'll probably be discounted. I don't want to say quickly, but I know when the discounts come around at the end of this year, it'll be on a discount, definitely on console. So if you have the opportunity, pick it up. If you're a Batman fan, absolutely pick this up. Pick it up. You may not be a Lego fan, and if you're not, what's wrong with you? But if you may not be a Lego fan, but you will not be disappointed if you are a Batman fan in this game at all. Not one bit. It was smiles the entire time while I was playing it. Some frustration because there are Riddler Riddler puzzle things that you have to do. Mm-hmm. There's some character called Clue Master that has puzzles as well. There's all sorts of stuff around the city that has, you know, these side missions for you to do. Tons. In total, 600 and something. Side things to do, not Riddler trophies, which sounds like what you would normally have to deal with, but like just all of it. There's so many different side things to do. There's also like the training stuff and whatever. I don't like that stuff, but yeah. Sneeze, come on, excuse me.
Yeah, you mentioned the Riddler stuff in the Batman series, especially for Arkham. I don't think I've ever completed the Riddler stuff. I just ran out of patience. Just started skipping it.
And I'm wondering if my patience will run out as well now that I've finished the story. I was really reluctant to, but a lot of the stuff, and it doesn't, once you get to that point of no return, you have all the characters you need to solve all the puzzles and do all the little side quest things. But when you start out, it's very difficult because you don't have a character unlocked yet that you would need in order to solve whatever the puzzle it is, or help you solve whatever the puzzle is that you need to solve. Because each character comes with different weapons and different abilities that help you you know, go through there. Oh, I want to make, I want to just a shout out to a level. The most fun I had on the game was the Tumblr Joker chase from The Dark Knight. It's completely on rails. There are no secrets to find or any kind of like whatever to find, but it's absolutely fantastic. It's wonderfully done. And I loved that was one that I finished with a complete smile on my face.
The burnout fan in you. Huh?
I mean, yeah, because you're in the Batmobile, you got jumps and you can blow things up and you're turning and it's just fantastic. Mm-hmm. It was really, really, really good.
Batman burnout.
Yeah, and I loved
someone make it happen.
Well, funny you should say that.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, and somebody can look this up, it was. Was there someone from Criterion who worked on the Batmobile sections for Arkham City? And I don't mean No, I don't think they did. I think I'm misthinking about it. But there is a section in Arkham Knight where you have to chase down these vehicles in the Batmobile. Not in tank mode and all this other crap that they put in there. I'm just talking about there's a chase that you have to do every how many times. Mm-hmm. And whenever you blow them up or take an enemy car out, you know, time slows down. It does the whole camera thing. It's very Burnout-esque. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, again, Lego Batman, high marks, wonderful, loved it. And now I have a lot of side missions to catch up on. I'll probably take it island by island and just go, because there's a certain point where you can unlock and see all of the side quests on the map. Otherwise, you just have to kind of discover them as you're walking around the city.
Yeah.
But at some point, you get an ability to where you can have those all show up on the map. Mm-hmm. So now I'll just go section by section of Gotham and just, you know, take those out. Because there's a nice little treat if you can get 100% at the end of it. And I don't know yet what that. I don't know yet what the context of it is. I do know what it is, but I don't know how it's implemented into the game. So, anyway, that's going to be it for this section. We're going to take a break when we come back. I know, yes, there is some Destiny talk that we need to have. There's also price increase talk that we need to have, both in the realm of Sony. And, of course, in the realm of Valve and Steam, specifically the Steam Deck. So we will be getting into that as well. Lots to go over, lots still to come, so stick around. We've got music here from, I think we're back to our more modern, I say modern, these are last year. But I think we're in September here. This comes from Trials in the Sky, first chapter. This is called Sophisticated Fight, so we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back into In-Game Chat. Music there from Sonic Racing Crossworlds, whatever that was. The Grand Prix music. Game I still don't have yet. I was really interested when it came out, but still don't have it yet. Anyway, welcome back to the show here. Look, I know the big Bungie talk is what we want to have here, but I have 15 minutes, and I'm going to save that for the next segment here. But there's plenty of other little bitty news items to hit that I'm going to try and hit it here, and that is... what do we have? Oh! Just, this was an odd one. The PlayStack Games. Told investors that it agreed to sell its... Anyway, it's they're being sold. PlayStack is the publisher of Balatro. And they're being sold to the parent company of GameSpot. I don't know what that means for Balatro at all, just because Balatro is, you know, a single dev person. But yeah, I just thought that was interesting that they were selling. So I don't know why. I think they're doing pretty good. By the way, I also forgot to mention that week before last, I finished Vampire Crawlers. And got whatever the, was it platinum, I guess? Got all the achievements. So I wrapped up that game in time enough to get started on Batman. What am I going to get started on next? I really want to jump into that Bond game. But I just feel like that is a game I can get at a much cheaper price down the line. It's single player.
Yeah, you can say it about a lot. Yeah, I'm about to say you can say it about all the single player titles. Give it time.
Yeah, it's also one that I could probably pick up on console, probably for cheaper, since it usually hits, since console usually gets a price cut more than PC versions do. Now, Batman, I can play on the Steam Deck. It also gives, I don't know about replayability, but it's just got so much side content to do that I'm good. And so I can sit there and play it on my Steam Deck. I don't have to necessarily be on my, you know, main system and go through there and, you know, knock out a Riddler thing or knock out some other side quest that I'm doing. You know what I'm saying? So that I really wanted that on PC. And apparently the Bond game runs pretty good on the Steam Deck as well. But it's also something where it's just like, man, I can pop it and play it on the big screen, you know, and enjoy it there. And it's been doing pretty good as well. We got the announcement of Talos Principle 3, which will be coming out, I guess, this year. I'm not sure. We're probably going to know more when we get to our big Summer Games Fest thing that's coming up in the week to come. So we've got that as well. We've got a State of Play for PlayStation that is coming up, I think, this week. I've got the... Yep, it is June the 2nd, Tuesday. It'll be at 6 p.m. our time, I believe. Yeah, Eastern is an hour behind us, so it's 5 Eastern... They're an hour ahead of us. Yeah. They're an hour ahead.
Yeah.
So it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Tuesday, June the 2nd for the State of Play. We know that Wolverine is going to be confirmed to make an appearance there, the video game for that, because that is coming out in, what, September, I think, or October?
I'm not sure. You said, yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's steering clear of the GTA date. In fact, Fable got pushed back. Fable for Microsoft got pushed back, which is great because apparently it was coming out around November and they decided to push it back until like February of 27, which is all right because I know GTA 6 is just going to eat those. It is the thing you don't counter release to. You know, you can, and I'm sure some indies will. What do they care? But your big companies are just avoiding that date altogether. Because that is just going to dominate. We still don't have a price on the game yet. The release date's still confirmed. There were still some conference calls that were done with investors and things like that. The date is still confirmed. A marketing push coming later this summer.
Yeah, a lot of folks were looking for it earlier. I think we talked about that. They wanted it The anticipation of the trailer 3 thing.
Still waiting on that, and which I'm sure we'll be getting pretty soon here. I mean, Rockstar has never really been concerned with, like, E3.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's been announcements made, but rarely has any of their games, Red Dead, GTA, any of that stuff, ever shown up at E3. It's never been a part of, like, hey, you know, one console has the exclusive whatever to show off gameplay footage. They've never done that I know of. They may have in the past, but I mean, I'm saying in my recent memory of the games they've released, they've never been at E3. Yeah. They do their own thing.
Yeah. So
because they can.
Yeah. So look, it'll be out when it's out. So.
Oh no, we know when it's going to be out. The thing is, we don't know price because there's that whole
trailer.
Oh, the trailer. Yeah.
The push, the ad brush for the game. It'll start when it starts.
We got a price increase on PlayStation Plus. I believe the basic is the one that got the price increase. According to a message posted to Twitter, prices for the lowest essential tier now start at $11 for a one-month subscription, which is up from $10. So they went up a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
They went to $27.99 for a three-month subscription, which is up from $24.99. It does not apply to current subscribers unless the existing subscription changes or lapses, although it's not clear yet what those select regions are. The price is detailed. So, you know what? It's not that big of a price increase. It's still an increase.
Yeah. And besides, mine is, I think mine's up in August, I think.
Mine's
but, yeah,
up.
I've always had one in the chamber for next month anyway.
Yeah, I think mine may end this year or it ends in 28. I can't remember if it was 26 or 28.
Mm-hmm.
I know I was way ahead out there.
So late in the month?
No.
Late in the year?
Yeah, either late this year or sometime in 2028.
Mm-hmm. You had like five or six.
Oh, I banked the hell out of those.
Yeah,
things.
You found a deal and just lathered it.
Mm-hmm.
Got it over and over again.
Yep. Banked it. Yeah, I totally did. So, mm-hmm. You know, I'm okay there. But let's see, what else do we have for some news here? Well, I guess our big things are going to be this. It's going to be the Destiny thing, the price increase. And then another thing with Sony, they're now stopping. They're not going to be bringing any of their PlayStation exclusives to PC anymore.
Yeah.
There were rumors, but they actually have reportedly told staff that PlayStation single-player games will remain exclusive to its own consoles. Sources familiar with the company's plans told Bloomberg in March that PS5 games have not sold well on the platform and suggested that PC ports risk damaging the console's brand and could hurt sales of the PS5 and its successors. I mean, maybe. Because people would just wait it out so that they could have it on PC rather than go out and buy the console. Mm-hmm. Plus the fact that you've now increased the price of your consoles. Right? Yeah.
Which is not inducive to helping people buy more of your consoles.
I know. Well, there's that, but now it's like if you want to play this game, you got to put the money up to do it.
Or just watch it on YouTube.
I mean, you can do that as well, but you can do that with anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
do they not know that yet?
Well, I mean, everybody knows that.
Yeah,
but
your single player game. I don't have to play it. I could put it on YouTube. I mean, initially hearing that is like not a good. You hear that and you're like, that's not a.
You can
good
do
idea.
That. Bennett, you can do that with any game, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, regardless of how much they're going to price, even games that I feel like, hey, you know what, I'm interested in it, but I don't really care to buy it.
Yeah.
I'll watch it on YouTube. They didn't lose a sale from that. They were never going to get a sale from me anyway, but I was going to watch it. I had interest, but not interest enough to spend the money.
Yeah.
Outside of maybe, but even at regular price, I'm like, if it comes down to $5, maybe I'll pick it up on a price error or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But in this regard, and yeah, I know people can watch it on YouTube that you can use that, as for any of the statements that we talk about of any games.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what this, I think, is trying to do, because they did increase the price, they're like, well, we're cutting you off. No longer will you need, you know, no longer will you wait for us to put these games out on your platform, PC. Mm-hmm. You've got to buy into our ecosystem. You've got to spend the money. If you want to play this game, if you want to play it, they, you know, they got what, Wolverine coming up. Mm-hmm. Which I, you know, whatever else we see at the state of play, any of the single player stuff that we get out of them is PlayStation 5 exclusive and will not be coming to other consoles or will not be coming to PC.
But the thing is, though, I think we've talked about it before. Games that move systems.
Mm-hmm.
Can you, other than, I mean, maybe Wolverine, maybe, but can you think of any titles that Sony's got right now that will absolutely move systems, even with the price increase
that they have right now? I would say no, but there's I couldn't say that about Microsoft either, outside of maybe Forza Horizon 6, but that's on Game Pass. You could buy Game Pass and play it on PC.
Yeah.
There's also, I think it's also going to be on PlayStation at some point. I know Forza Horizon 5 is on PlayStation and did very well there without any kind of a price difference whatsoever. Yeah. People bought it there. Now, down the line, and again, whatever we see at the state of play could be a situation where I can say, oh, look, you're getting Wolverine, you're getting this, you're getting this. All of these single-player games that are set to be released whenever that you can only play on PlayStation 5. So now you got to spend that money if you want to play that or just wait or watch it on YouTube, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that there's Wolverine. In my head right now, I can't think of anything that isn't exclusive to them, but I know maybe the chat room's going nuts saying, oh, no, we got this and this and this. I'm not sure. I know Naughty Dog's next game. Intergalactic, whatever it is. I can't remember what it is. But I know that one will be a big to-do for them, you know? If it ever makes it to a... I'm sure it'll be a PlayStation 5 release, but it's one of those situations where it's like... Because another thing that we found out was that they're not going to bring up Project Helix, the new Xbox, at Microsoft's Summer Games Fest thing that they got next week. They said, we're not going to be talking about Project Helix. Makes sense, because I don't think any of these companies right now want to talk about their next-gen consoles. Because as much as they can show it off, they can't talk about price, they can't talk about release date.
Which is all I'm about to say, the only thing people are interested in is price right now.
Right. I mean, we don't even care about release date. We figure the price is the one that's the one we care about.
Especially with what Sony just pulled off with their... that PS5 Pro price.
Well, there's that plus what Valve just did.
Mm-hmm.
Because they raised the they raised the price of their Steam Decks to well over 50% of what they are right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if that gives you, that's a handheld, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
That is, I mean, it's a beefy handheld, but it's a handheld. Nintendo's raising their price. I think they already have, but Nintendo's going up on their price, also removing the game bundle with it, whatever. Xbox went up, PlayStation 5 went up. So to talk about a new console being released is not going to do you, it's just going to, people are just going to be doing what we're doing right now. We're just talking about how much is this going to cost.
You're going to be
That's the only question.
You're going to be bombarded with prices, price concerns on that thing.
Yeah. I mean, this is, obviously, we've talked about this. This is the first time that we've gone as far into a generation and the prices have gone up instead of going down.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's one of the things, and I'll bring it back up when we get around to the Steam Deck thing, but we told you weeks ago that, hey, the prices look bad right now, but right now you'll be thinking, boy, I should have jumped in when I could.
It's going to get, you said before, it's going to get a heck of a lot worse.
Because it's going to get worse. And I'm telling you now, it's still going to get worse. It is still going to get worse.
Nice time for a retro revolution then, if that's good.
Yeah.
All those old systems of old, if they still work. My Dreamcast still works and I still got stuff on there, remember?
Yeah. Well, Thar says, but $300 pop or $300 a shot is insane. For the Steam Deck. I mean, I'm not so sure about that. I mean, that $300, and I don't know exactly what you're looking at as far as the which version is of it that you're looking at. I think I paid under $300 for mine because it was on sale, so it was like $260 or $275 or something like that because I got the lowest tier, and then I modded it to put all of my stuff that I wanted to put on there. Bigger hard drive and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, I'm going to buy the lowest tier and then I'm going to put my own stuff in it. And I think I also had some credits or whatever, but regardless, it was around 300, you know, probably with tax, it was probably about $300, mm-hmm. which is not bad. You look at the Switch and the Switch 2, when they released, being consoles, they cost around that much or more. For something that was a handheld that you could carry around and take with you. And it's a beefy handheld. The Steam Deck is a beefy handheld, and I love it to death. But looking at the prices now...
Mm-hmm. That's going to get worse later.
God. Thar says $989 for an OLED version now. For the 1 terabyte OLED version, which I think is all they have now. We'll get into all of this a little bit later on. But that's for a handheld. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine what an actual main console box from Sony and from Microsoft is going to cost whenever it gets there? $989 for a handheld. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you right now, you're not paying that $989 for that OLED screen. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was nice to have, and yes, that was the reasoning for the original why it cost more than what the LCD cost. But that price increase is, the Steam Machine is not something that anybody is concerned with right now.
Maybe iPhone costs.
That'll be interesting.
Without the contracts, you know, the discount from a contract or whatever.
What are we getting? We're getting that in September, I think, right?
Those things like what? $1,400, $1,500 without a contract? Like straight?
Yeah. Depending on the size of the hard drive you get, that sort of thing. So it's over $1,000.
We're looking at that for possible for consoles? I'm just guessing. I'm just speculating at this point because I think when I think of high-priced tech, I'm thinking of, when you say portable high-priced tech, I'm thinking of an iPhone and things like that.
The console makers have always said that they lose money selling the consoles.
Yeah.
They take a hit on putting those at the price that they put them at. Mm-hmm. If that is still true, when you get a console that is going to cost you, we'll say $1,000, mm-hmm. and they're still taking a hit on that, you know, and I don't think for a second that it's actually going to cost $1,000. It's going to be $1,200, maybe. Mm-hmm. And this all depends when they decide to release this. Because a lot of them that I feel, the reason that we're so deep into this generation right now is because they were holding out hope that this storm passes. And I believe they're still on that sort of waiting game to see if this, you know, they've got to move ahead a little bit, but mm-hmm. we don't need to move into the territory of announcing a date or a price yet. Mm-hmm. Let's continue our dance and see if this storm passes so that we can't just...
The consumers can wait too now.
Well, they know that as well. They absolutely, you know, it's going to be really interesting
so
to see how this
shapes
up.
You're going to have to say something, announce something, do something.
Yeah.
Because consumers ain't moving until you do.
And I want to be clear on something when we talk about this, and we got to go to a break, 5 minutes over here, but I want to be clear that this has everything to do with AI. Mm. The reason for these increases have everything to do with AI. Some of it, part of it has to do with what's going on with Iran and everything else. The majority of it has to do with the AI situation, memory. It's stacking a little bit on top of a lot of other things because of the ripple effects. And we kind of went over those in the last show of like, how is the whole Strait of Hormuz thing affecting us as gamers? What is all that affecting? And we went into, it was a long article about what all that covered. So yeah, there's a little bit in there, but I guarantee you right now, the price increase on the Steam Deck has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with AI. So anyway, we got to take a break. When we come back, Destiny talk. Let's do it. Here's music from Hotel Barcelona. That's Barcelona. Anyway, it's called Raise Your Glass. We'll be back with more in-game chat right after this. Back into Endgame Chat. Listening to a track from Silent Hill F. Dizziness drawn to a faint something. It gets cut off, so I'm not sure. All right, welcome back. So yeah, we might as well jump into the main... for me, it's the main story of the week. And that is basically the end of Destiny. I have to go back and look, but I guess it's been, 3 years since I was banned? 2 years, 3 years, something like that? Maybe we're approaching year four, I think, I lost the ability to play the game. And then they decide that they're going to stop updating it. It's done, end of life type thing, whatever it is. end of service, something like that. Let me look at the actual thing to see what's said here. And I'll try and read some of this. Most of this is going to be my own sort of opinion and my own reminiscing and everything else to talk about it, but they're doing no more updates for the game after the one that releases this week. There's an update that releases this week, and then that'll be it. No more. You're not going to get any more story. You're not going to get any more dialogue or cutscenes or anything that's going to move things along or give you new content. Mm-hmm. It's all done after this update. While our love for Destiny 2 has not changed, the studio wrote, it has become clear that after the final shape, we have reached the time for our shared worlds and Destiny to live beyond Destiny 2. We're proud of Destiny 2, the places it took us, and the legacy it has created. Because of you all, our universe is vast, built on years of shared stories, adventures, and victories. From the Cosmodrome to the Pale Heart to the Lawless Frontier, we have forged lifelong memories and friendships with you all. The end of live service updates for Destiny 2 signals a new beginning for Bungie, which will see it moving to incubating new games, the studio said. They also committed to ensuring that Destiny 2, like the original Destiny before it, will remain playable. So it's not being shut off, although at some point it will be. But yeah, to that end, the June 9th update will be the last one that they do. Our goal is to ensure Destiny 2 can be a place you can come back to and feel rewarded no matter what you play, while also having enough variety and activities to fit your mood for any given play session. Whether you're looking to play competitively, slay a god or two, or just spend some time exploring new destinations, there will be something for you. It is a stunning ending for a game that had enough to compel Sony to drop $3.6 billion to acquire Bungie just 4 short years ago. But the studio's Sony years have not gone smoothly. Destiny 2 floundered as Bungie leadership poured money into dead-end incubations and burned through community goodwill that once seemed boundless. After years of mismanagement and botches, a full Destiny 2 turnaround was out of reach, but as put by one of these guys' writers at the PC Gamer, the fact that the game of this size and significance has effectively been abandoned and left to rot is an absolute disgrace. So, it was a surprise to me. That they were done with it, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe it shouldn't have been, given the way Marathon's been going, which, as best I can tell, has not been the worst, but also not the best. You know?
Marathon's no Destiny.
I mean, it's not. The shooting, apparently, I can tell you that, even from just firing the gun one single time, man, mm-hmm. in that demo for Marathon, I was like, oh, there's the juice. There it is. There's the stuff. There's that Bungie formula of just really good guns. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that was it. One shot. And I was like, oh, there it is. But I didn't get into it.
Yeah. It's all that other stuff around the shooting that's not...
Right, right. Yeah. And I'm glad I didn't, just for the fact that Marathon just does not seem like a game that's up my alley. That's not my type of gaming. Whatever that is. Extraction shooter thing, whatever that is not my type of thing. Mm-hmm. But the gun felt good. Mm-hmm. The shooting felt good. Like, out of everything, I know that I can't play Destiny anymore, but if Bungie ends up going away... Whoever's got that code mm-hmm. for how their guns work, mm-hmm. Use that, take that, put that in another game somewhere, because that is a formula that is
your. Would you say it sets the bar for shooting?
I mean, yeah, that's your Coca-Cola, that's your KFC, man. That is your 11 herbs and spices. I mean, it is very good. Mm-hmm. To Seriously, I was away from, this is dirty as hell. I was away from the game for 2 years, you know? Mm-hmm. A game that I had played for almost 10.
Yeah.
And when I tell you I played it, I played it. It's all that I played. Mm-hmm. And so for me to come back to it, or well, not even come back to it, for me to play their other game that involves shooting and to have that reflex of just firing one gun one single time, hitting one of those robot things in the head and doing a headshot and being done, to feel that, whatever that is, go through me, mm-hmm. there's some sauce there. There's something there, you know, in what they are able to do. And that needs to be implemented in more games, because it is a great, They do their shooters well. They everything else they have issues with. Story, implementing story, putting story in your game instead of putting story outside of your game, like they did with the, you know, the grimoire card thing, the thing that I got like 5 books on at the house with. The community service aspect of things. I mean, you know, I got banned, but, and they wouldn't tell me why, and they wouldn't help me out with it. Yeah, you know, they were just like, you're done.
Yeah. The article you were reading said it itself. They
burned through community goodwill.
Community goodwill.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially with the way they were caught implementing more tedium in the grind throughout the game. Yeah.
But having said all that, you know, the gunplay is good. The guns are really good. They're really good at that. So, anyway, moving on to more about this. Bloomberg had another update on this. According to sources who spoke to Bloomberg reporter Jason Schreier, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Bungie isn't immediately buckling down on Destiny 3. A lot of people were speculating. They're like, well, okay, Destiny 2 is dead. Marathon's, you know, whatever it's doing. Maybe this is the point where it's like, hey, we're going to move on to Destiny 3. Maybe that's what we're going to see at the Sony State of Play. Maybe there's going to be a tease for Destiny 3. Maybe there's something on the horizon with Destiny 3 coming up. It's like, Destiny 2 is done. Marathon didn't work. Go back to what works. You know, just give us Destiny 3. But that also wasn't the case. We speculated on that for like, I don't know, a couple of hours that day before this next report came out saying like, no, Destiny 3 is not in the cards. They don't have any specific project greenlit for the Destiny 2 development team to start on. There's going to be layoffs at the company as well. None of this rules out the eventual development of Destiny 3 or another game in the Destiny universe, but if Bungie isn't even past the pitching and prototyping stage, we can expect it to be a long time before we hear about anything other than Marathon, which is what the studio apparently is going to invest more of their money, their time, their effort in, is going to be, which it has to be.
All their eggs in one basket, though?
It has to be. Yeah. They have no other recourse. The reason, and Jason did a YouTube video where he talked about this whole thing, because apparently he was a player of Destiny as well. And he talked about his time with the game, as well, and what he was going to miss about it and that sort of thing. But he talked about the fact that the amount of money that it would take for them to work on a Destiny 3 or to get a Destiny 3 released, not counting the marketing, would be more than it costs any of the money that was put into Destiny 2 and Destiny 1 combined. Just to get 3 off the ground. Again, not counting the marketing. And Sony, I don't think, because my first thought was that too. My thought was, well, what do you do with a company like Bungie who, you know, tried something different with Marathon that kind of didn't work out? But here you have a Destiny and a Destiny 2. Why don't you just move on from there? Why don't you just, the obvious choice now is because this didn't work, this didn't work. Just make Destiny 3 and everybody's good. Mm-hmm. But that's not the case. They're not doing that. And they likely won't do it.
They're stuck.
They are. Well, I say they're stuck.
I'd say they're stuck and they're trying to do, from on the outside looking in, they're trying to do everything they can to make Marathon a success and it ain't going.
I think they're worse than stuck. I think they're worse than stuck. I think they're in a situation, like you said, all their eggs in one basket. And Marathon is probably the worst basket to put it in from what they've got. I think that Sony will do something with the studio and keep it in name only. I just don't think we're going to see a Destiny 3. I don't think we're going to see much of Bungie survive this. The name will, you know, they'll keep Marathon going, I guess, for as long as they can until it's like, this ain't working either. Might go free to play, you know, might turn that into something that goes free to play, I suppose. I don't know. But now I think they're in that proverbial rock hard place situation. Yeah. They can't fall back on what they did because there's not enough money there to start that. There's not going to be enough staff to start that.
How long did it take him to pull the plug on Concord in this situation?
That was like a month.
It took a month before they just
it
said,
was. I mean, it was it. Short. It was short. It was very short. It's a little bit different there because Concord was made by a brand new studio. This is Bungie. They got some legacy, you know?
Yeah.
And the name alone carries that weight with it from what they did with Halo and what they've done with Destiny. And it's starting to carry the wrong weight.
Yeah, but and with the amount of money they put in there, like we said all those years ago, we've got to do something with all the money we put in here. But with Marathon, it's not looking good. It's an extremely uphill battle. They're trying to win. I don't see it going too well for them.
I don't either. This says Bungie has a hard time getting new projects out the door. In 2024, the company laid off more than 200 employees after canceling a Destiny spinoff called Payback. Pete Parsons, former CEO of Bungie, said at the time that the studio had been stretched too thin across several incubation projects. That word came up again in today's announcement, which stated that Bungie is moving on from Destiny 2 to begin work incubating its next games. Marathon did make it to launch, though its sales aren't where Bungie or Sony would like them to be. In a clear attempt to attract more of the Arc Raiders audience to its shores, Bungie plans to add a more casual PvE mode to the game in an upcoming update. They're also going to, and I've got this somewhere else, they're giving you like a free week of playing the game when the update comes out, so you can get back into it if you want to, free without having to buy the game.
Yeah. Sending out feelers to get more people in.
Yeah, a free-to-play week and a special sale is going to be planned as well for when the Season 2 starts this week. The developers, I say the developers, but the a lot of the people, here it is. Destiny 2 changes reportedly were kept from most of the staff ahead of the public announcement. The vast majority of Bungie staff were reportedly unaware of the plans to discontinue support for Destiny 2 until the announcement was made public last week. The insight into the goings-on at the former Halo developer came from a Forbes report. It was an announcement that shook the industry and had watched the studio launch its latest project just a few months ago, and it came to a surprise to many of the very developers it involved. The site stated that, according to the sources, the vast majority of Bungie did not know about Destiny 2 support being dropped right up until it was publicly announced. The limited number of teams privy to the information beforehand included some that had already begun work on the final content and others who had already transitioned over to Marathon from Destiny. A decision to end support for Destiny is said to have been made earlier this year, with the rest of the team left to continue working on future updates. The exact number of staff who only learned about the shift upon its public announcement is unclear, but sources say the few who were aware of the impending changes begged leadership to tell more people at the studio. Then we got the news that they were planning a significant number of layoffs and had no immediate plans to begin work on Destiny 3. For now, Bungie seems to be pouring many of its remaining sources into Marathon. And then it goes into just weeks ago, Sony announced that $765 million impairment loss due to Bungie's underperformance. There's a petition calling on Sony to greenlight Destiny 3. At the time of this piece's publication, which was, earlier this week, it had amassed more than 200,000 signatures. Petitions are great ways to say, hey, we're interested in this, but rarely do they make things happen. Because as much as you sign it, you've still got to buy it.
Yeah, the interest is there, but the money ain't.
That's what I was. Yeah, I know, right. Yeah. You can sign a piece of paper saying, I want this, but that's also not signing any kind of a deal saying that I will also buy it when it releases.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this is their world now. Their entire world is now Marathon. And it's likely a world I won't ever get into. Now they're adding the PvE thing, and maybe that's something that might draw me in, perhaps. But I don't know. I don't know. You know? But for now, it's over with. I talked to some of the guys. I invited some of them to say, you know, if you guys want to come on and talk about it. Because a lot of people have treated this as like, you know, time to talk about the good times we had with the game as though it's practically dead.
Sounds like end of
an era. And maybe it is, yeah. And maybe it is for a lot of people. Maybe this is the weird part of it was seeing a lot of the reactions to that. I was like, oh yeah, no. I know where you're at. I experienced this a few years ago. Mm-hmm. I was forced to have to experience this a few years ago of like, this game is over for me. I will never be able to play it again. And I mean, lucky for everybody else, they can still jump in and play. They're just not getting any new content. Nothing is going forward. They're stuck with whatever they're stuck with. Mm-hmm. And that's it for the rest of the existence of the game.
Until the server shut down.
That's exactly. That's all you're getting. And, you know, a lot of people talking about, man, it's been, you know, they were telling their stories of like, yeah, you know, I made friends or I did this or I did that. And I'm like, yep, I know how it feels. I know exactly what you're talking about. Mine was forced, but it felt like the end of it for me. So it might as well have been whenever they banned me, was like, yep, it's a game I'll never play again. And so this is what I remember it for, you know? I don't have bad, like the goodwill of the community, that part I understand because of the way that they didn't treat me bad. This is their policy. We don't talk about why people are banned. Because if we had to talk about why people were banned, if we had to go back and forth with you, then out of all the people that they ban, that would just take an immense amount of
time, effort, resources.
Yeah. Just basically. So to have that flat thing of like, look, when you get banned, you're banned. That's it. We don't do anything, you know? You know, if you want to go route of suing the company because you can't play your game anymore, sure, go ahead. But that was just something I wasn't interested in doing, even as a threatening lawsuit type of thing. Which maybe if something like that, they could look at it and say that, yeah, okay, nothing here that was cheating in any way, or that was bannable of an offense, because. Still, I the only thing I can think of is that stuff that I use for me to log into work here, which is TeamViewer. But it never triggered before, and I don't know why it would trigger then, unless I was with a group that was doing something. Because I do play with randos, you know, just random people. And if I was on a fire team that consisted of somebody breaking those rules, it would apply to me as well. So, anyway. It's done. It's over with. I know what it feels like to lose the game. I know what it feels like to talk about, you know, the time you spend in something, the friends you made along the way type of stuff. I get it. Luckily, a lot of those people I knew before Destiny, and a lot of them I will still know beyond Destiny, for me. But yeah, I totally get it. And now it's a done deal. So... I don't know. This is it. Marathon is their only source of revenue now. Which is why I'm still in the camp of you're not going to get a Destiny 3 anytime soon. Mm-hmm. Like they haven't even, there's nothing done. It's not there, you know, outside of title only. Because that's the title you would give the next game in the Destiny franchise would be a 3 on the end of it. Yeah. That's it. By the way, I forgot to check out Twitch to see what everybody's saying on the thing. If anybody's saying anything, poke my eye out. Yeah. Well, Lethal Migraine. I mean, I know that he's like, I called it 20 years ago. I called it. they're gonna fail. Lethal Migrant says he prefers the shooting in COD, Battlefield, Cyberpunk, Far Cry, Fortnite, Saints Row, The Division, among others. I haven't played Fortnite. Far Cry is outside of the first one, the very first Far Cry. I have not played Cyberpunk. It's been a minute. I would need to go back and do that. Battlefield, I haven't played in a while. COD, man. I am not sure about Call of Duty, as far as the shooting's concerned. I can tell you that there have been moments that I have played a Call of Duty game after all the time I spent with Modern Warfare from the first, the way back on the 360 days, mm-hmm. when they released the multiplayer demo for Modern Warfare. There's been times that I've gone back, you know, ever 6 years later, 7 years later, ever how many, and played a COD game. And the shooting is very good. The shooting on that game is very, very good. But there's no comparison to the amount of time that I spent in Destiny to come back to that and feel what that felt like after years away. Even less time between Call of Duty games. I came back, I'm like, ooh, that feels good. So yeah, Saints Row, man, Saints Row's great. They need to come back to that. The Division's not bad either. It's not on par with Bungie to me, but The Division's not bad.
Still like the rifles in that game, The Division.
Division? Yeah.
Yeah, but my favorite weapon is the rifle I got in there recently. The high spec one anyway. Mm-hmm. I can hit targets clear across the map with that thing. It feels good hitting the targets with that.
Yeah. So yeah, that's end of an era for Destiny, for Bungie. Mm-hmm. And I go back to like, I don't know how they get out of this, the hole they're in.
I'm not seeing a No Man's Sky type turnaround for this. I mean,
I don't know.
They may be able to build something on it, but I don't know if the interest is going to build up enough in it to pull them out of the hole they're in.
Yeah. This is all speculation on my part, and I don't think I have enough time to go into speculation on my part, to be honest with you, but if they were to pivot Marathon in some way, story-wise and then gameplay-wise, to where they integrate aspects of Destiny into it, characters, story, like I said, mm-hmm. somehow flip that switch of, oh, well, now Marathon is bringing in Guardians or bringing it, you know, just sort of integrating that and kind of, what's a good word? Kind of morphing it into a pseudo side Destiny thing. Mm-hmm. It's possible. You know, they're putting in this PvE mode. Maybe there's some aspects of that they do. I don't know.
As long as they don't do no guest character thing or whatever.
I mean, I'm not saying guest characters, but actually something very similar to that, to where they bring in, like, here's the Destiny characters. You know, here's where you can play as a hunter. I have no idea how Marathon works for picking classes or any of this. So I have no idea if any of that fits. But if there's a possibility for them to do that, that way you bring your Destiny folks over from Destiny, mm-hmm. who had no desire, me, to play Marathon, but oh wait, you're starting to integrate your Destiny aspect stuff into this. You're starting to, you know, your bounties or your team group ups and doing stuff in PvE instead of PvP. Maybe there's something there. I don't know. So who knows? That's a possibility, but that's, again, this speculation that probably has no merit whatsoever. So it's likely those are two very separate things that they have wanted to keep separate, which is, this is Marathon, this is Destiny. The two shall never meet. Who knows? All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we kind of already touched on the price increase of the Steam Deck, but we'll go into that a little bit more. Not too much deeper, because there's really not much more you can go into it. The price went up, way up. And so we're going to talk about that and, you know, whatever other little news that we can get to before the end of the show. Here's music from, what is this? Toa Guardians? Grass and Furrows. I'm not exactly sure. I try to shorten these titles because sometimes they're very, very long. Mm-hmm. And I only have so much space on the screen to work with to tell me, number one, what is the game? Number two, what is the track listing? So anyway, we'll be right back. And welcome back into In-Game Chat. Music here from Dying Light, The Beast. This is a track is called Being a Man. Be a man. All right, so we're going to talk about the Steam Deck getting a price increase. Which I need to find where that's at. Where? Oh, God, there's so much more to get into, and we're going to get into that. Yeah, okay. So, a lot of people got emails saying, hey, the Steam Deck is back in stock. Because they'd been out of stock for a while. And so, you know, people were waiting to get notified of when they're going to be back in stock. Well, mm-hmm. Steam sent out notifications. Hey, the decks are back. We got them. Price is different, though. And so the price shot up a lot. I'm trying to find. See, this is in Canadian, which I don't know why I'm looking at why it says it's Canadian, but yeah. Okay, there we go. The 1 terabyte OLED model is now $949. Which is a lot. $949, and I think the, I don't remember what the 512 gigs was, but it also went up in price as well. Let me see. We'll go into the Steam Deck store page right now to see if it's going to give, I know they're going to say, hey, we ain't got none in stock, but maybe they'll at least tell me what the price is. The thing of it was, when I saw the price increase, just like this article says, holy cow, that's a lot of money. Those things are not, you know, nobody's going to shell out. Okay, $949 for the 1 terabyte OLED, $789 for the 512 gigabyte OLED. Which, by the way, if they're anything like the LCDs were, you can buy the 512 gig and re-put your own thing in there. Although with the prices that have gone up on storage now as well, who knows? It probably evens out. Anyway, they sold out of stock in less than 24 hours at the new prices. I know. But like we said, if you think it's high now, you just wait. Because it's probably going to go up some more. But yeah, it's up there. The price is high for the Steam Deck. So if you got one, that's something a lot of other people are talking about. Was like, boy, I hope my Steam Deck lasts for a good while until these prices come down again. Because if this thing breaks, there's no way I'm buying. You know. Mm-hmm. I won't have a Steam Deck until the prices drop because there's no way. Yeah, so, you know, take that with you there to keep that in mind as you're playing your Steam Deck. Let's see. I'm just going to blow through a lot of stories here. Let's see if anyone's talking in Twitch. Toa and the Guardians of the Sacred Tree. Yes, that was the song that we went to break with. And we came back with Dying Light. Subnautica 2 broke the 4 million copies sold in less than a week thing, which means that they're actually going to have to, Krafton is actually going to have to pay that bonus to those creators, to those developers that they went to court with because they were trying to get out of paying that. Mm-hmm. And they were held, nope, you have to do that. The guys who made Kingdom Come Deliverance are working on a Lord of the Rings RPG. If it's anything like what they've been doing with Kingdom Come Deliverance and Deliverance 2, that's going to be amazing. And something that'll be pretty cool. What else do we have? There's a new life sim out there, Paralives. After 7 years of development, Paralives is now out in early access. We haven't had a competitor. I don't think we've had a competitor to The Sims as much as this is a competitor to it than ever. It gives so much Sims vibe. Mm-hmm. But just like City Skylines before it, you can't stay king without defending your title type of thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like SimCity dropped once they released their fifth iteration. And then City Skylines just ran with that. Speaking of City Skylines, it looks like the next Lego game that we're going to get is a... Because there was a... Like one of those things where you have to copyright or get a ratings thing or whatever for something called Lego Skylines. And it's from Paradox, which is the same publisher of City Skylines. Mm-hmm. So we might be getting a Lego City Builder.
And considering what Legos are,
they're built. Really yes, fits. It absolutely really does. The fact that we don't have one already is pretty amazing. What else do we have? The Witcher 3. The Witcher 3. How long? 11 years? How many years has it been since we've had Witcher 3? Songs of the Past, which is their new expansion for that. Will launch next year. Hmm. We originally planned to make this big reveal during our streams tomorrow, but let's say we found something we didn't yet expect on the Red Launcher, the live stream, which planned. Yes. So anyway, The Witcher 3 is getting brand new, a third expansion after like 11 years. The other thing about it, though, is that they're more than 12 years after the original game's release. 2015 was when they originally released the game. And now in 2027, it's getting a third expansion. However, they're dropping Windows 10 support for Witcher 3. Like, I'll still be able to play the game, but if I want to play this new content, I have to be on Windows 11. Mm. Yeah, that's a big old...
Sorry, don't wait 11 years.
Yeah, what is slightly alarming is the shift towards making Windows 11 a requirement, which hasn't gone down well with the PC community. Mandatory Windows 11, really? Either CDPR got a fat check from Microslop, which is what they're calling it, or they don't care about players at all, reads one thread on the Witcher 3 subreddit. Many PC gamers are still on Windows 10 for various reasons, be it improved performance over the bloated Windows 11 or the inability to upgrade given the hardware requirements for the new operating system. Although Witcher 3 now specifies Windows 11 and its minimum requirements, this does not mean that the game won't run at all on earlier versions of the OS. Instead, as CD Projekt Red clarified, it means that the studio won't support or test the game on Windows 10 going forward. This isn't a decision that CD Projekt Red is making in a vacuum. Microsoft stopped supporting Windows 10 in late 2025 with security ceasing security updates as it prioritizes Windows 11 upgrades. NVIDIA is also expected to stop releasing GPU drivers for Windows 10 later this year. That's something else I didn't know about that part. God, you know what? I need to check. I haven't updated. I don't think I've updated my graphics drivers in a while. Because I got a 3080. I don't know that they're still putting out drivers for that thing, but still. Mina the Hollower just dethroned Forza Horizon 6 as the highest rated game of the year. That was a game that the Shovel Knight folks... God, I'd have to look up the name of them. But the studio for Shovel Knight, this was it. This was their make or break it, you know? If this game succeeds, if this game does well, we're good. If this thing fails, we are absolutely done. Because they had shoved everything they had into making this game.
Yacht Club Games?
Yacht Club Games. That's the name. And it received more than a dozen perfect scores from a lot of outlets. Some of the reviews from start to finish, Mina the Hollower had me enthralled, which is pretty incredible for a game that ran me about 18 hours for a first-time playthrough. Some truly masterful game design on display, along with excellent sprite work and sound design, make this an all-timer and easy recommend for, frankly, anyone that enjoys video games. Mina achieves the same heights in both action and style that its impressive inspirations, Zelda, Castlevania, and FromSoft RPGs, reach on a regular basis with far fewer resources. Even if all you've played is Breath of the Wild and Elden Ring, don't let the retro look fool you. Mina the Hollower will scratch the same itch with an open world that's crammed with mysteries worth finding and lively, clever combat that I could not get enough of. The game is out now. It's $20 on all the different systems.
Retro look?
A very are you looking at it now?
Yeah.
I'm yeah. looking at images of it. Very retro look. Very. I've actually been interested in it. Apparently, they give you a ton of playability options to where you can adjust it however you want to make it the game you want to play. Mm-hmm. Although, if everything is set to default, it's one of those, just like it describes, Zelda, Castlevania, and Souls-like. Mm-hmm. So, what else do we have? Call of Duty Modern Warfare 4 got revealed. We talked about the Fable delay. We talked about the Helix news. And then, yeah, then the Bungie stuff as well. So, yeah, we covered it all as much as I could. And, yeah, so there we go. Anyway, thank you guys for joining us. We really do appreciate you being here and coming back after this week. That was a lot to cover, and we're going to have a lot more to cover next week because we got the Summer Games Fest going on. That is all going all down next weekend as well. So we got plenty to talk about coming up. New games and the like. So thanks for joining us. I know Dave is listening right now. So, hey, Dave. So we will, you guys have a fantastic week and we will see you next Saturday. Here is music. It is the title track. So I don't need to tell you all the stuff of like what title this is. And it's a short title, a game called Consume Me, which is actually a game about an eating disorder. But anyway, Consume Me. Yeah, very. And that is it. So you guys have a good one.